Our study of Romans brings us to Romans chapter 11 today. This chapter serves as the conclusion to a long argument that Paul began in chapter 9. Now, in chapters 9 through 11, Paul was responding to the fact that Israel did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. He was in anguish that not all of his kinfolk had reached the same conclusion about Jesus as he had. He was especially concerned with those who had not heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and he was wondering who would help him spread the good news. Now, this brings us to the beginning of chapter 11, and I'll read verses 1 and 2, and then 29 and 3 through 32. So let's listen now to these words of Scripture. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. Amen. To say something is irrevocable is to say that something can't be changed or reversed. And we know there are some things in life that we can't change, but we wish we could. Take, for example, those moments in which we wish we could take back something we said. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's when we open our mouth and insert our foot. Well, sometimes our words do come out of our mouths faster than our brains are able to process them. The bad news is we can't take back what was said. All we can hope for is that other people will understand that we made a mistake. Now, I know from experience that it's never fun to fumble with my words in front of others. Way back when my wife Victoria and I were dating, she invited me to go on a ski trip with her mother Elaine. Now, this was the first time I had spent any time with her mom. I wanted to make a good impression. I also wanted to enjoy some good skiing. And when you go skiing, you need decent ski clothing. Otherwise, you might turn into an icicle. And ski clothing tends to be bulky, colorful, and sometimes flamboyant. Now, back then, I wore a wild-looking toboggan that made it look like I had dreadlocks. And Elaine was wearing a fun-looking hat and scarf of her own. Now, I wanted to compliment her, but what came out of my mouth, and Victoria enjoys bringing this up whenever she wants to poke fun at me, is that I called her mom's outfit tacky. Now, I have no idea why I called it tacky, and I immediately wanted to press rewind and start the conversation over. But you can't take back the words you've spoken. Once they leave your mouth, they are irrevocable. That's the way it is with some things in this world. And yet, more often than not, we're given a chance for a do-over. And this happens rather frequently. Just look at life in our country. We love second chances. Now, if you don't like something that you bought online or in the store, you can return it within 30 days and get your money back. If you don't like the food that you ordered in a restaurant, your waiter will bring you another entree at no extra cost. And if a coach doesn't like a call on the football field, he can throw his red flag and get a second opinion. Even bigger events in life are treated as reversible. If you don't like your name, you can have it legally changed. Or if you have taken on too much debt, it can be erased through bankruptcy. Now, there are many different things in life that we can redo or even revoke, but it's impossible for us to revoke the gifts and the calling of God. Today's scripture makes it clear that God is a God of certain irrevocables. As Paul writes in verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Now let's take some time to consider what this means, and let's start with the gifts of God. Now there are many gifts that I could talk about, but the one I want to focus on, and it's at the heart of our scripture passage, is God's mercy. It is irrevocable. Now God's gifts are different from blessings, and that blessings change. They ebb and they flow. The Bible tells us that rains come and go. Crops boom and bust. But the gift of God's mercy is constant. Now we know of this because God didn't reject Israel when they sinned, or when they worshiped other gods, or when they failed to carry out their mission. This is good news because it tells us that God still offers mercy even when we're disobedient. Now, Paul experienced this truth in his own life, and he shared this good news with the Roman Christians in verse 32, where he writes, "For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all." I've learned a lot about mercy through being a parent. Now, Victoria and I have had those moments when our kids have tested us and done things they know they shouldn't have done. Punishments have varied, but we always use those moments to teach them about doing the right thing. And we always strive to respond with mercy because we want them to grow and learn from their mistakes. And when parents respond to disobedience with mercy, I think they do so because they're more interested in the future than the past, which, by the way, seems to be the way God treats people in the Bible. Now, in the scripture, we read about all kinds of sinners, but God consistently responds with mercy because the Lord wants to see growth and transformation in His people. Now, this is true even when we are at our worst. See, God doesn't give up on us. We may be acting in awful ways. We may not be doing the things God wants us to do. But God doesn't give up on His commitment to us. God keeps His promises. Now, if you turn back to Romans chapter 8, you'll read that God has promised to redeem all creation. And as Paul sees it, this redemptive work has expanded from Israel in such a way that it now includes the Gentiles. In other words, God is working to share mercy with all people. And that means we ought to be on the lookout for where God is at work and then join God by sharing the gift of mercy with others. And I think this is desperately needed right now because our world is in great need of mercy. It's in short supply. Years after President Calvin Coolidge died, a story came to light of his early days as president. Coolidge had been traveling around and he was staying at a hotel. One morning, he was awakened by a cat burglar going through his belongings. Obviously, this was a disconcerting situation. But the president remained calm and he started talking to the burglar. And he asked the burglar to not take his pocket watch because it contained a special engraved charm on it that he wanted to keep. Well, President Coolidge continued to talk with this thief, and he discovered that he was a college student who had no money to pay his own hotel bill or even buy a train ticket back to campus. The president felt sorry for this young man, and he ended up giving him $32 as a loan and then advised him to leave the same way that he entered the room so that the Secret Service agents wouldn't catch him. Now that's a remarkable act of mercy. You know, mercy is given when it's not deserved. That college student certainly didn't deserve what President Coolidge gave to him. The Israelites didn't deserve the gifts that God shared with them. And Paul didn't deserve the grace God showered on him. But God is gracious and merciful, and His gifts are irrevocable. It's important that we not lose sight of this, especially in this moment when so many good things have been taken away from us because of the COVID pandemic. Now, some of the good things that we typically enjoy in life are absent right now, but the gifts of God are irrevocable. So is the calling of God. Now, God doesn't take back the calling He has placed on His people. Now, we know that the church has been made by God to be a people on mission. And in writing about the people of Israel, Paul posed the question, has God rejected His people? And then he answers his question by saying, by no means. Now, to fully appreciate what Paul is talking about, we need to review what was said in chapters 9 through 11. And in these chapters, Paul talks about how Israel had been disobedient, but their disobedience actually allowed God's mercy to move to more and more people. However, this is not an excuse to sin more so that we can experience more of God's mercy. That's not the point Paul is trying to make. What Paul is saying is similar to some of the things that we read about in the Old Testament. If you read the minor prophets, you'll read of a time when God was disappointed with Israel because their worship and their justice left a lot to be desired. Now, you can find plenty of other places in the Bible where God is disappointed with His people. And usually this disappointment lies in the fact that Israel wasn't doing what it was called to do. See, they were created to be a blessing to others. Their mission was to help God's family grow by blessing other people. In fact, God calls the church to do the same. The Lord wants us to be on a mission of blessing others because it's part of who we are. But if we're not living as missional Christians, then we're deviating from God's plan. Earlier in our worship, we recognized the 75th anniversary of our church. From the very beginnings, mission has been a building block for us. We started as a mission to the neighborhoods right around this church building. We saw this as our mission field. We developed English as a second language courses. We started a preschool and an arts ministry. We started sending mission teams to places all around our country and to places far away like the Ukraine, Spain, China, South Africa, Haiti, Honduras, and most recently, the Bahamas. In our time together as a church, we've started and we've ended a variety of ministries, all in response to our mission, our calling, to love God, love people, and live the gospel. Continued faithfulness to this calling requires us to constantly clarify the direction of our church, to evaluate our priorities, and to reaffirm the fact that God is on a mission and invites our participation in that mission. Now, God has given us a calling for a reason, and God has given us gifts for a reason. We've been given these things so that we might carry out a small part of God's work right here on this earth. But when we ignore our gifts and our calling, we miss out on opportunities to see God's power at work, and that keeps us from growing into our full potential and becoming the people whom God has created us to be. And yet, even if we ignore what God is calling us to do, God will continue to invite us to be on mission. This is one of those things that we can always count on because God is not going to revoke it. And since the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, I think the best response we can make is like Paul's. If you turn over to chapter 12, verse 1, Paul writes, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Now, I hope each of us will respond to the irrevocable gifts and calling of God in this way. Let's use our gifts to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and to make life better for everyone. I invite you now to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Lord, you have blessed us with many gifts and have placed a calling on each of us. We pray that you would guide us in sharing your gifts, especially your mercy, with the world around us. After all, you've been merciful to us through Jesus Christ, and the least we can do is share that mercy with others. And Lord, we pray that all that we do will be an act of worship to you. We pray this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.